Actually, I had a hat I was wearing yesterday that Mike gave me. Would have worked well today.
Wasn't
that? Houndstooth. Yeah, houndstooth. Romans chapter 3. Appreciate the Gregory's last week hosting our Bible study at their home. Great potluck after. Romans chapter 3. Our verses for today would be 20 and 21. Let's start in verse 19 just to catch the context here. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the way, can somebody catch a time?
It's 10:30.
Thank you.
Because Mike was late.
Okay.
For the video.
So, yeah. We just wanted to get that on tape. The shame. This has definitely been one of those mornings for the tape. We'll see if this one even ends up going up on YouTube. Verse 21, the first but now in Paul's writings. And of course he does this seven times in Romans to Philemon, his but now. And which is exactly why we grabbed butnow.info as our website. Why Ricky Jordan, the son, out in Phoenix, Arizona's website is butnow.org. Very significant, but now. You know, it's always been one way, but now something's changing. And, of course, we know that's the doctrine, the Pauline doctrine, the grace message, as we call it. The dispensation of the grace of God. We could actually make that the dispensation of the gospel, dispensation of the gospel of Christ. You know, it started with the teachings of Paul. Whether you want to start that in Acts 9, when Paul was saved, and he says, in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe. Okay, so something started with the salvation of Paul. Of course, as we find out, in the 13 books that Paul writes, that something different is the church which is the body of Christ, a new church, a new way of salvation, the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried and raised again for our justification. And it now includes a new group of people, Gentile dogs, like those of us in this room, and some that aren't necessarily dogs, but and of course, I'm using what Scripture says. Even Christ in Matthew called the Gentile woman there a dog. Okay, so it's open up to Gentiles now without going through the Jews, through Jerusalem. Okay, so all of these changes that happen in the but now doctrine in Romans to Philemon. So let's come back. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Justification being the key phrase here and the key subject, the key activity that's going on in verses 20, 21, and 22. Justification, again, this is where I keep the definition of justify written down in the margins of my Bible. Justify, to pardon and clear from guilt, to absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment, and to accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior or by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. Okay, we're justified. And we're justified by His resurrection. Okay, we're saved by His dying for our sins, taking those sins to hell, being justified by His resurrection. So verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified. So all the way up until now, this now being but now. So literally, Roman, so this is the book of Acts, this part of the timeline. Acts 1, the ascension of Christ into heaven. Acts 28, when the Jews become, lo am I, not my people. After that begins the dispensation of the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 3. That's where we live today. This will end with what's called the rapture of the church, the calling out of the body of Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Then begins a seven-year period of great tribulation, the tribulation, not a period of tribulation, it is the tribulation, followed by the thousand-year reign of Christ after the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his return to earth to set up his kingdom. Okay? So, Paul writes this book of Romans in Acts chapter 20. Okay? So, this is the first book that shows up after the book of Acts, written by Paul. Okay? This is the first book written by Paul that shows up. It shows up right after the book of Acts. I want to say that in the right sequence. Okay? It's not the first book Paul wrote. Between Acts 16 and 20 is when Paul writes his Acts epistles. First he writes Galatians, then 1st, and then 2nd Thessalonians, then 1st Corinthians, then Romans, then 2nd Corinthians. These two in Romans chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. I mean, these are like boom, boom. The last two books he writes here. Okay? But Galatians, he writes in Acts 16. First time we see, so this is where things are changing. As he said in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Going clear back to Genesis chapter 12. Now, this is Genesis chapter 12. The promise to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. It's been justification by works in here. So this is the birth of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four Gospels, then into the book of Acts. It's still justification by works. You know, it's by faith and works. Works were part of the program. It's by grace and works, faith and works. But works are part of the program. Clear up to Acts 9 is the first time anyone is saved without works being part of it. For that matter, if you look at the works Paul was doing in Acts 9, it was 100% contrary to good works. He was going to throw the kingdom church, the church that the 12 had started, into prison, to have many of them killed, put to death. Okay, so that's the work he was doing there, but yet he was justified in spite of the works he was doing. Okay, total grace.
Real quick.
Yes?
How long after the crucifixion was the beginning of Acts as far as the writings? Acts 1.
Okay, so the first question is, and I'm going to go to the second question I thought you were asking me, and both are great questions. How long after is the book of Acts after the crucifixion? It's almost sequential if you look at the book of Luke and then Acts. Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and it's almost like the next day, literally, 24 hours later, begins the book of Acts. And actually, there's a little bit of overlap there. All right, so Luke ends with the ascension of Christ into heaven. Christ is still, when the book of Acts begins, Christ is still on earth. The very beginning of it. And let's go back here and look real quick. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So he says in verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles to whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So there's 40 days after the resurrection, okay, 40 days until his ascension, or 40 days after the crucifixion, 40 days after his resurrection until his ascension into heaven. Okay, so we have the crucifixion, 3 days he's in the ground, he's resurrected, 40 days later he ascends into heaven. So there's 43 days.
Is that when they saw him?
No, they saw him for the 40 days.
During those 40 days is when they see him. They're with him for those 40 days. They go away. The 11 go away with him for those 40 days.
And that's after the crucifixion?
Yes. Okay. So 3 days after the crucifixion is the resurrection. For 40 days, he's with the 11. Then we're in Acts 1, and he ascends into heaven. Right in verse 9. And when he, which is Christ, had spoken these things while they, is the 11, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, again, this is the 11, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Of course, that's right here when he comes back. Okay? So that's right here. And so this isn't really that close to Acts 9. This is all in Acts 1. 7 days later is Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the crucifixion.
Well, so that 40 days when he was on earth with them, it was a resurrected body?
Yes.
So it wasn't like how, like it wasn't flesh. So that means, I know this is stupid, but they could stick their hands in me?
I want to say no. Let me fact check over here. That was at first, when he very first appeared on day 3, and he said, don't touch me, I have not yet ascended. And I believe somewhere in there, he gets his glorified body, and now it's more like his... You going to go with me on that, or should I say I don't know and let me check into that?
Okay.
Yeah, he's got his glorified body now, so now they could touch him.
So you're saying we'll have the same glorified body as he does, so...
Fashion like unto his glorious body.
So
it won't be the same body.
So he couldn't walk through a wall. Could he have?
Where he appeared to them in the upper room, and like he could walk through a wall, but with doubting Thomas, he said, "Put your finger."
Right.
Well, it's not flesh and blood. We can say that. It's not flesh and blood.
So his resurrected body was
it's bodily form, but it's not flesh and blood.
Bodily form meaning
he stood there.
A body with no blood. Inside, meaning that it's not like he was, well, it is a spirit. No?
Tell you what, may I put that off until after for the sake of the tape?
Fine.
Because that is different than what we're talking about.
Okay.
However, we can come back to that. Because I don't want to get caught up in the tape, and because I've got several things going through my head about that right now. So first of all, the book of Acts starts immediately after. It's these 40 days, his ascension into heaven is really where it picks up in Acts 1. Okay, so it's sequential. Acts 20, on the other hand, is about 25 years after the crucifixion. Okay, so here we are and Acts 9 is... around 1 year after. Acts 7 for sure is 1 year after. Okay, the stoning of Stephen is 1 year after the crucifixion. Okay, Acts 9 is shortly after that. So we're 25 years later when he writes the book of Romans and says, but now. Now, Acts 13 is the first time we see him preach the doctrine that he's showing us in the book of Romans. So let's go back to Acts 13 while we're in Acts here. And read. In fact, we're going to talk about some of this in the second hour or second study as well. We'll talk about the wisdom of this world and how it just gets in the way of people seeing who Christ is and what he means to us today in the year 2014. All based on a dinner we went to last night. It was unbelievable. Just what people say about who Christ is, was, again, what that means to us today. So in Acts chapter 13, let's see, first of all, Paul starts in verse 16. Paul's going to stand up. Actually, let's start in verse 14, where this passage starts. Acts chapter 13, verse 14. So Paul is saved in Acts 9. He goes into the desert for 3 years. We're told nothing about, and Paul talks nothing about what happened while he was gone for 3 years. We just know he went away, and we know he did not see Peter or any of the 12 during those 3 years. When he comes back, he sees Peter for 2 weeks, and then that's it. Verse 14, but when they departed from Perga and came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Okay, and of course, we know the next several chapters, that's what Paul's going to do everywhere he goes. He goes into the synagogue. Verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, ye men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. So the ye that fear God would be the Jewish proselytes. Okay, the Gentiles that are there knowing the promise to Abraham, bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. So they knew they needed to be at the synagogue to gain favor with God, to hear God's word. Paul begins to preach, and the first thing he does is preach the same thing that Peter would have preached, which is, that man that hung on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ that you crucified, he is the Son of the living God. He is both Lord and Christ. And then let's jump to the end there, verse 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, and said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after that he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Now that's where Peter would have stopped. Like in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches in Acts 2. Paul says something new here, and this is the first time this is ever that we have a recording of this ever being taught, starting in verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are, here's that word, justified, are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. First time that's ever taught. First time. Faith without works. Verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which was spoken of in the prophets. Okay, and on he goes. But the key is verses 38 and 39. First time you see the gospel of Christ preached. Okay, so back to to Romans chapter 3 now. Terry, what time do you have, please?
10:45.
That was only 15 minutes, okay. So when he says in verse 21 of Romans chapter 3, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. So that's what we just saw there in Acts 13. Okay, the first time we see it is in the book of Romans, okay, when he writes back to the Roman church. Okay, remember, Paul had never been to that Roman church yet when he writes the book of Romans. He is a Roman himself, a Roman citizen, but from Acts 9 to Acts 20, he had not gone to Rome. He had established many churches, the Thessalonian church, the Galatian church, the Corinthian church. He had been to these places, the church at Ephesus. Okay, 3 times he goes to Ephesus, spends many years there, at least 3 years. Right? Remember we studied that in the book of Acts when we went through there? Okay, Acts 18, 19. Okay, he goes back 3 different times to Ephesus. So 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And that's just your key phrase. Come back to in chapter 1 of Romans. You know, we'll start in verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." So, gospel of Christ, first time it's presented. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," well, wherein? The gospel of Christ. "For there in the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Okay, so the righteousness of God. We see it here in verse 21 of chapter 3. Okay, back to chapter 3, verse 29. "But now the righteousness of God." Excuse me, verse 21. Romans 3, 21. "But now the righteousness of God," as we saw in 1:17. "The righteousness of God without the law." Okay, gospel of Christ, first time it's without the law, "is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." "Even the righteousness of God," there's that phrase again, righteousness of God, "which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all," okay, "and upon all them that believe." Okay, and notice where I'm putting that pause, verse 22, okay, "which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe." Now, I want to just talk about that for a minute, because all the other versions, including New King James, are going to leave out the second, "upon all." "Upon all them that believe." So, and they also change "faith of Christ" to "faith in Christ." Even New King James does that. So let's talk about each of those. So the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And we've done that study many times. If you go to Galatians 2:16, Galatians, and we're not going there, Galatians 2:20. Do keep your hand here. Let's go to the one in Philippians chapter 3. But there's many times when Paul talks about the faith of Christ, where everybody else changes it to faith in Christ. Where everywhere King James says faith of Christ, there's also going to be something about your faith later on. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 9. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness," which is of the law, "but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Okay, "that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." But verse 9 there, "the faith of Christ," which once again, all other versions will make that "faith in Christ." It is Christ's faith. He had enough faith to allow himself to go to that cross and to die. Allow himself to die on that cross. To willingly die. To take our, you know, to die for our sins. Go to hell for 3 days. Be raised again on the third day for our justification. The faith of Christ. And that's what justifies us. It's not even our faith. So that, and so now back to Romans 3, verse 22. That faith of Jesus Christ, okay, even the righteousness, verse 22, "even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all." Okay, all people have this available to them, the righteousness of God, which is available to all people in the world today. Every man, woman, child, every race, creed, religion. You can be part of ISIS right now. You would be included in that all. All means all. It's unto all. But it only is upon all that believe. That second part of that. Okay, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. And upon all them that believe. Them that believe are the ones that it's placed upon, the righteousness of God. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, am I saying that right? Okay, everyone, it's available to anyone and everyone. And that, again, is a difference. So not only is this by faith without works, a but now difference. Who this is offered to is a difference. Because back here, while Christ was on earth, it was available to many, not all. Okay, it was available to many. Throughout old scriptures, if we were back here in Isaiah chapter 53, remember it's just available to the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew chapter 10, it's just, tells the 12, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's available to many. He says himself, I came to die for many. Out here, it's for all. So it's available to all, and the righteousness of God is placed upon all them that believe and trust in the gospel of Christ for their salvation, Ephesians 1:13. Okay? So that's a huge difference there. Huge difference. And there is no difference at the end of verse 22. There is no difference between Jew and Greek anymore. Okay? It's the same program, available for all, available to all, and placed upon all them that believe. Verse 23, for all have sinned. Not just all Jews have sinned, all people. Every man, woman, and child. Every kind of person. Isis, Jew, Gentile, Baptist, Catholic, and anybody and everybody else. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, he's talking here about the righteousness of God without the law. Come out to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, in the name of context, remember, a lot of the book of Romans, you've got to take in context, not just where something's written, but because he does a lot of going back in time and coming back in time. You know, Romans chapter 9 is about Israel past. Romans chapter 10 is Israel present. Romans chapter 11 is Israel future. All right, so we're in Romans chapter 10, which at that time would be Israel present. At that time, Acts 20, when he's writing this book. Okay? Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is right now, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they, right now, 25 years after the crucifixion, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, remember that's what we're talking about here in verses 321, 322, the righteousness of God, God's righteousness. So verse 3 of chapter 10, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They're trying to earn it. Okay? They're trying to do the right works. And as he's telling us in Romans 3, that ain't going to cut it. Nobody could ever do it. All the way from back here. So this would be for a period of 4,000 years up until this time, nobody had been able to do it. So the program changes. The righteousness of God is now available to all, and it's placed upon all them that believe. Okay? Questions on any of that? Okay, back to Romans 3. So in Romans 3, so it's available, it's the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe in verse 22. For there is no difference, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Another good passage to go with this would be in the first book that Paul wrote, that's part of the Acts. So let's go to Galatians 3. Okay, Galatians 3. We're in Romans 3, Galatians 3. It's amazing how a lot of these books will match up, the chapters even. And here we were in Romans 3:22. Watch Galatians 3:22. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Keep your hand there in Galatians 3. Come back to Romans 3:22 again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Galatians 3:22. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Wow, pretty amazing how these can go together. Let's keep reading Galatians 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Like in the but now time period is when it's revealed. Wherefore the law, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. And what's a schoolmaster? The law. We're no longer under the law. That's a but now doctrine. Was never in place until Paul revealed that, beginning in Romans 3, in writings. Okay, so pretty, just kind of amazing how 3:22, almost saying the same thing in the book of Romans, the first book that shows up written by Paul in your Bible, and in Galatians, the first book from a historical standpoint that Paul wrote. 3:22. And the verse before is where it said, but now, I'm going to put 3:22 there. They go together. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. First Timothy. So now we're going into the prison epistles. First Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. So the end of verse 3 is God our Savior, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. All men. So again, it's unto all. God our Savior would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for how many? All. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Once again, a difference from, let's even go back to where this would be in even Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. I kind of referenced it earlier, but let's go back and see it in Scripture. So shortly after Psalms, a few books is Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, talking about the crucifixion of Christ, starting in verse 4. Surely he, and that would be a reference to Christ, hath borne our griefs, or in Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, remember that phrase right there, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The key is, who's the us all here? Who's the all like we like sheep? Okay, we're going to see it. In verse 8 here, let's come to verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Okay, and he hath made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Okay, verse 8. Okay, verse 8 is the key there. Who is the my people? All of my people he was stricken. Okay, it's the Jews. It's Israel back here in the Old Testament. That's who his people is, are.
Were.
Thanks, that works. Was. Anyway, it's for Israel. Okay, that's who all this is about in 53. For his people, for all of my people he was stricken. Come back to Romans 3. Let's get back on our subject, period. Actually, let's look in Matthew. Matthew 15, on your way back to Romans. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Come out to chapter 20. Chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give him his life a ransom for many, not for all, as 1 Timothy 2 said, right? Thank you. Come to chapter 26. By the way, notice this was verse 28, right? Matthew 20, 28. Let's go to chapter 26 of Matthew. Anybody want to take a guess what verse we're going to read in chapter 26? Let's try 28. Thanks, George. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for how many? For many, for the remission of sins. How about that? 28 agreeing once again. During this time period, Christ came to many. Christ came for many. It's not until after Acts 9 where it changes from many to all. But now, it's another one of the major changes in the but now doctrine, as in Romans 3:21, the first time we see that phrase used. It's used 7 times by Paul. But now, things are drastically changing. Until I reveal this unto you, but until this was manifested by my writings, Christ was sent for the sins of many, for the transgressions of many. Those many were the Jews, Israel. There was a way for Gentiles to receive that remission, and it was to align themselves with Israel. It was to be circumcised. It was to do everything they could to become as close to a Jew as you could without being born a Jew. They had to physically be circumcised. They had to go to the synagogue. They weren't allowed in the temple. They had to be outside the temple, but they had to go to it. They were never allowed in. Acts, after Paul's writings, even out here, Acts 21 or 22, they want to stone Paul because they thought he brought a Gentile into the temple. And what does the next phrase say? And defiled the temple. Had Paul brought a Gentile, which he didn't, by the way, but had he brought a Gentile into that temple in Jerusalem, he would have defiled the temple by Jewish law. Okay, so even 25 years after the crucifixion, and people just totally miss it today. They want, well, we're spiritual Jews, and no, it's but now. It's how the righteousness of God is acquired, and it's who it's available to. But now, Acts 3, or Romans 3. Let's go back there, Romans 3, and we'll wrap this up. Our study for today, Romans chapter 3. Verse 21, but now, the righteousness of God without the law. Difference one, the law no longer has any part of this, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. It's available to everyone now. You don't have to go to the synagogue to hear it. It's available to everyone. And it's upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 28 of chapter 3. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, not will be justified, is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. First time you ever see that. But now, just to make sure we see that it's going to change again later on, you can almost make this a, but even now, or I probably shouldn't add any names here, things to come. Okay, this would be Hebrews to Revelation. Watch how this part changes. Go to James chapter 2. So 3:28 again. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. What justifies him? He's justified by what?
Faith.
Faith, thank you. And it's without what?
The deeds
of the law.
As
opposed to James chapter 2, watch how this man is justified. Let the words say what they say. James 2, verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That could not be more contrary to what Paul says in Romans 3:28. It's the exact opposite, because things will change out there in the trip. Take the mark of the beast. You can lose your salvation out there. We have eternal security here. We're sealed. And the next dispensation to come, those people can lose their salvation. And oh, by the way, if they lose it, they don't get a second chance. Okay? So we have a but now here. That's going to end at the end of the dispensation of the grace of God. These guys out here could say but now. Scripture doesn't, so that's why I don't want to use it and confuse things here. But there will be a new doctrine again. We have it to know how God's going to deal with them. It's in our Bible. They, the Jewish leaders that will use Hebrews to Revelation, they have it to know it's in the Bible. And that's what they're going to teach the people out here, and that's how they'll be justified. Okay, questions on today's Romans 3:21 and 22? That key, but now. It's available to anybody that will listen today. And the righteousness of God is upon all them that believe and trust in the gospel of Christ. How that he died, those three key words, for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried and raised again for our justification. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10. Thanks, brother. You can go ahead and...